In this episode, Ken Schumann and a group of faith walkers reflect on the topic of gentleness. This conversation was originally recorded in November of 2020. We want to remind you that Faith Walking's mission is to make wholeness possible for individuals, communities, and the world. Visit us at www.faithwalking.us. That's www.faithwalking.us. Join this conversation.
Let's talk about gentleness today. So the fruit of the Spirit is gentleness. And it's another one of those words that if we don't delve into it very deeply, we kind of pass over it. And to be quite honest with you, it sometimes gets translated meekness. And I hate that word. Meekness feels like wimpiness to me. And I don't want to be a wimp. Maybe that's the male in me or whatever. But interestingly enough, I've studied this word before and I knew some things about it. But as I did my work around it, I went to a deeper place than I've ever been before. And it clicked for me in a way that hasn't clicked for me before. So the word gentleness means power under control, strength under control, like a horse that's been broken is gentle enough to ride it, but it's still got all the power that it once had. It's just the power is contained. The power is under control. This idea of gentleness for me, let me tell you a story. Let me tell you about my vow. So one of my major vows is that I will never let anyone dominate me in the way my father dominated me ever again. And my father dominated me by verbally belittling me, verbally attacking me when he got anxious, or spanking or hitting me, but he also dominated me by, I didn't have a voice. And so anytime that I feel like particularly someone in authority is trying to dominate me, unintentionally or not, I get triggered. And when I get triggered, I choose one of two responses. One is to go to silence and not say anything and just suck it up and take it. But eventually I get so angry with so much that I've taken that I can't hold it back anymore. And then violence comes out. And by violence, I don't mean I go fist fight anybody. I'm a good Christian. I hadn't done that since I was about 9, but I will verbally attack people. And I'm pretty good at it, because I've had a lot of practice with it. And so it's this idea, I either suck it up and shut up, or I start pummeling people with my tongue and I won't quit. I mean, I'm just going to keep on keeping on. So, some of you know, some of you don't know, and sometime maybe I'll tell you the whole story. But about 15 years ago, I was running a venue here where I had a church that operated out of. And that venue is a live music venue now. But when our church moved into it, it was the owner was a Christian who wanted it to be a bridging place for people of faith to hang out with people that weren't of faith. And he was looking for ways to get people in the door. And bottom line, short story, I'm trying to cut to the chase. We started a Texas Hold'em Poker League and we started playing Texas Hold'em Poker. Now, my roots are Southern Baptist. And so recognize Baptists don't drink, Baptists don't smoke, Baptists don't chew, Baptists don't go with girls who do, Baptists don't gamble. I mean, we have a longer list of don'ts than we had do's. And so it was a pretty significant moment. And I can tell you the story sometime, because I'm convinced God called me to learn how to play poker and to join the poker league. And so since then, for the last 15 years, I've been playing poker, and the league no longer exists, but I play online. And there are people from all over the world on a free site. It's not gambling. It's free chips, and we just play for fun. I've met tons of people. I've met a couple from Calgary, Canada, who actually have started wintering down here on Galveston Island. And this last year, Becky and I went on a road trip with them through Texas, through my poker playing. So all of that side story. My story, though, I'm on the table the other night. We're just playing, doing our normal deal. I'll refrain from using any kind of negative language, but some person decides to bring up politics at the table. And, you know, of course, it went downhill from there. And I said something, and I don't know what I said, and it wasn't any big deal. Maybe I just said who I voted for. And this other person instantly attacked me, began to just belittle me, make fun. So I've already told you what my trigger is. So, you know, my anxiety instantly spiked. And instantly I said, I knew I had to defend myself, and instantly I started slicing and dicing the guy with my tongue. And we went at it for a little while. I know none of you can imagine me being mean and angry and reactive and violent with my tongue, you know, but that's what happens when I get triggered. You know, and the truth is, I worked him over pretty good. I mean, I had some pretty good shots that I threw, and he tried to retaliate. I defended all of them. I mean, it was really pretty bloody. I'm exaggerating, ladies. But in the middle of it, I, of course, caught myself and said, "Oh my gosh, Ken, you're just reacting. You're reacting out of your anxiety." And so I just decided, okay, just shut up and just don't say anything else. And I did. And we eventually, my friends and I moved to another table and we had a good evening. But I was troubled because, again, I felt like I had this dualistic choice between either not saying anything or verbally attacking. That there was no, I couldn't come up with a third way. I'm telling you all that to say, in my study of the word gentleness, I believe, and for me, gentleness is the third way. Okay, so recognize gentleness is not saying nothing. And gentleness is not saying too much by verbally attacking. Something in this, the thing that clicked was this idea that gentleness is about strength. It doesn't mean that I have to give up who I am. It doesn't mean that I can't define myself and say, well, this is what I think, this is what I believe. But what it means is that after I've defined myself, I have the capacity within myself to stop and not go into attack mode. And so I included in the notes, if you looked at them, when I'm triggered, I typically react by either going silent, sucking it up, or I react by verbally attacking with my tongue. And my new positive declaration / guiding principle that I wrote yesterday is, when I'm tempted to react with silence or violence, I choose gentleness, because gentleness is strength under control. And suddenly I like the word gentleness, because it captures everything that I needed. And I wrote in the paper also, gentleness is a form of self-differentiation. So differentiation is I show up and define myself. I show up. I don't give up myself. But at the same time, I stay connected to people even when they attack me. So I don't retaliate. So it's this idea of taking a stand, but doing it in a gentle way instead of a reactive way. The word gentle means free from harshness and violence in English. And so I want to be free from harshness and violence. Within the material today, a couple of things. The word gentle is or meek is one of the Beatitudes. And I gave you my little paraphrase of that. I'll read that again in a moment if you're not seeing it. One of the things I really love was I found the word gentle was a descriptor of Jesus in my favorite passage of scripture, which is Matthew 11, 28 and 29. When Jesus said, I am gentle and humble of heart. And what I believe about Jesus is, and I know you do too, Jesus was extremely powerful. He didn't get walked on, but he also didn't attack anyone. Now, he eventually willingly gave himself up, but he stood strong and he was gentle. The text here in 2 Timothy 2, 24 to 25 just really was appropriate. You shouldn't exhaust yourself in bickering. Instead, be gentle. No matter who you're dealing with, be ready and able to teach, tolerate without resentment, gently instructing those who stand up against you. Besides, the time may come when God grants them a change of heart, repentance, so that they can arrive at the full knowledge of truth. That was powerful. The idea that even as Paul wrote Galatians, he was writing to address division within the church community. There were Judaizers and basically, they were people that were on witch hunts, looking to weed out unorthodox teaching. And in the midst of all that, Jesus says, "No, the way of the kingdom is the way of gentleness. We don't go doing that." I also like this idea that gentleness is a quality to be displayed by the victor to the vanquished. And in the midst of our current political environment here in the States, whether we feel like we're the vanquished or whether we feel like we're the victor, it's this idea that in the midst of that, we treat people with gentleness, even when, and I'm going to just be blunt and say it this way, even when they act like idiots, we still show up with gentleness. So that's a whole lot about this word. But it's a powerful word. And one of the things that I say about writing positive declarations / guiding principles is that when you get the right one and you say it in the right language, it will make you smile. And when I wrote this out yesterday, it makes me smile. So when I'm tempted to react with silence or violence, I choose gentleness. I was going to read my paraphrase. Let me read that too. So Matthew 5:5, the Ken Schumann paraphrase. Happy, satisfied, and fully alive are the non-aggressive, the non-violent, and the non-vengeful. Those whose power is under control will inherit the earth and will enjoy the fruits of peace. So let's be gentle. What's that stir up? What are your thoughts?
Well, I've recently dove into a book that Deborah had
shared with me, the Beloved Chaos. And the person that wrote this book has, this is what she teaches everybody that comes into her coffee shop. And these are people from all different walks of life. And Joe's Addiction, that's the name of the shop, but it's a coffee shop. And there's violent people that come in there, but I'm reading these stories about gentleness, how she's teaching them not to take revenge. And these are ex-gang members or drug addicts and violent people come in there. And as I'm reading each story, my husband's reading it at the same time. And that's one thing I've been trying to explain to him and my son, you know, gentleness. Even though I'm not perfect at it, believe me, as I was reading this, I was thinking, well, it's real easy to be gentle with someone who is treating you right,
or right. or
when you're trying to protect somebody that can't protect themselves. But it's not easy being gentle when, and I find this challenging myself too, when somebody is degrading me or unjustly, being unjust when I absolutely know the truth about something.
Right.
So I struggle with that, but I love what you said there about it means strength. And I have been in situations this past year where I had to really force myself to be gentle, but to the point where I was physically shaking, you know, because I wanted to blow, you know. And so I'm learning, but definitely not there yet completely.
Yeah. Well, and I think with all of this, Brenda, I hear you completely, because it's the same with me. I'm battling my old vow and the way I've always reacted out of that old vow. And so it just takes practice. And there's going to be times when we're not good, and there're going to be other days when we say, you know what, I did pretty good today.
And it's so funny when I don't react and I just try to practice gentleness. My son's like, Mother, why didn't you say something? Why didn't you, you know, before it used to be, Mom, you're saying, you're just, you know, let it go. And then now he's like, hey, you need to stand up for yourself. Maybe it's because I'm aging and I'm having a little bit more difficulty physically getting around. And so now he's starting to get defensive, you know, on my behalf. Like, you know, why are these people being so rude, you know?
Right. And for me, that's why this word is the third way, Brenda. So I don't have to just take it, but I also don't have to retaliate in a way that's ugly or mean myself. And good. Karina.
I just had a question in the handout. You say, this word makes me smile.
Yeah.
What is that? Can you talk a little bit more about that?
Well, it makes me smile because I find it to be a third way to the two extremes that I have been going to most of my life, the silence or the violence. And so it makes me smile because I can see myself standing up for myself. So it doesn't mean I have to not stand up for myself. So most of my life, I was taught, well, good Christian boys don't stand up for themselves. They get walked on. Well, I hate getting walked on, which doesn't make it right. It's just, but so it's this idea I can stand up for my own voice, but I can also not be violent in doing it. So I can take a stand, and so I can be strong and be gentle both at the same time. And that's what makes me smile. Dawn, saw your hand up.
Yes, I just appreciate your words because I like the differentiation, the self-differentiation piece of it. I mean, that's what we're talking about right now.
Yeah.
And I also like the idea of separating gentleness from weakness.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think we often think that's what it is. You know, the little old lady in her chair that doesn't speak and just knits her sweater and there's a lot more to it than that. So I like that idea. So thank you.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. Mags.
Yeah. Just really sort of thinking about this. Quite often when people are mean to you or they do something to trigger you in that way, that comes, as you say, that quite often comes out of their own anxieties, and it comes out in a violent and an angry way. But the Lord also calls us to be witness, to be good witness. Mm-hmm. And so this is just what's going through my mind. I'm just thinking, okay, so I tend to go into a cave and just want to be quiet and think, oh my goodness, you know, mm-hmm. but that's going inward to yourself. And that's poor old mm-hmm. me.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And then you lose it. And there is a little Irish temper in me too, Ken, but it takes a long time for it to come out.
Mm-hmm.
When you lose it, it's still all about you because Correct. You're hurting. But
right.
that person may not know what they're doing.
Yeah.
And so when you choose to be gentle, you actually think of them first, rather than thinking of yourself first. And that's what mm-hmm. that's what got stirred up in me, mm-hmm. that you are choosing to be the witness that God calls to you to be. But mm-hmm. in doing that, you are actually having your own voice, and you're saying, mm-hmm. no, that's not acceptable, you know?
Mm-hmm. And, right.
You know, and get that person to be able to see it through slightly different eyes. And if not there and then, but to go away and contemplate.
Right.
That experience. Right.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Good. Yeah. Good, Max. John and Michelle, we got a bunch of hands going up. And then yeah. Deborah.
I think there's a very good example, I think, in dealing with this, where Jesus was in the situation with Simon the Pharisee and the woman that poured out, if I remember correctly, the woman that poured out the ointment.
Mm-hmm.
The Pharisee was contemptible and harsh. Mm-hmm. Jesus, at the same time, he actually affirmed the woman, and
yeah.
at the same time rebuked the Pharisee, but not harshly. He was able to give the fact, you know, pointing out the facts, and was able to evaluate the situation in a clear and concise way, without coming across overtly harsh in that way. So I just find that fascinating that he didn't just come. I think the temptation that we might often have is, now, mate, let me tell you something about you.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
But Jesus didn't do that. He just simply gave the factual information. Yes, the guy received a rebuke, but he did it in a gentle way and manner. And I mm-hmm. think that's a very good example.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. Thank you for sharing that. Michelle.
It was just, I shared in our faith walking module on Tuesday about a lady that she can be quite controlling, and I feel quite threatened when she's like that. And we ended up in this conversation where she tried to twist what I was saying in front of a group of people. I was teaching at the time, and she tried to turn it round a bit. And usually, because I always want to be gentle and kind, I would just have backed down and not said anything. But on Sunday evening, I actually kind of chose to say something and challenge her on it. And kind of on Tuesday, we were just talking about me having a voice. And so out of Tuesday session, after the session, I wrote a guiding principle, basically with what we're talking about. And so I have a voice, and I use it to speak wisely and with gentle authority. And it's just that, like, thinking about the power in gentleness,
mm-hmm.
and that how we can be strong, and we can say things confidently. But if we do it in a gentle way, it opens up people to be more receptive. And they're, you know, it opens their hearts, and they start to listen, mm-hmm. rather than us kind of push them away. And so, yeah, that's what I'm working on, a kind of that gentle authority, mm-hmm. To just that's the loving way. That's the mm-hmm. that's the godly way to mm-hmm. to be. So.
Beautiful, Michelle. Thank you for sharing that. Deb?
Yeah, sure. Let me see if I can get this out succinctly. I think my current calming and choosing what to do next is on the heels of something that happened to me the Wednesday morning right after the election. And I was in a small group that I established, and we get to share what's good and what's hard. And we listen. I kind of wrote guiding principles for that small group that mm-hmm. this is how we treat each other well. We listen and don't give advice. And we just really care by listening. So I had no sleep. One person in the group overran my voice earlier on, and I just kind of held it in. And the second time, she said what felt untrue to me, like a platitude. And having no reserves, I pushed back with a stronger voice than I would normally use with her, mm-hmm. which was my bad. Mm-hmm. But even before I could say, you know, go to the, oh, can I have a do-over? She just violently cut the whole thing off. Left the group, cut the thing, cut me out of every spot of her life, and then wrote a note that was not true. And so my thinking during this time is, is how to handle somebody who does cut off in a violent way, mm-hmm. to not chase them down and try mm-hmm. to get understanding, and definitely in this situation, not override her choice to cut off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because what's important is that her voice is heard. Mm-hmm. And I want to somehow communicate from a distance. I heard your voice. Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to leap over your barrier.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the new don't leap. Don't try,
yeah.
don't try to gain a yeah. good understanding. And I think probably if the person were closer to me in relationship, and I probably would ring up.
Mm-hmm.
Say, but anybody I'm in close relationship wouldn't have treated me that way,
mm-hmm.
you know. So I'm just exercising mm-hmm. that strange strength,
mm-hmm.
and I just thought I'd put that out there for you guys to see. Like, mm-hmm. that's what I'm trying.
Yeah, good, Deborah.
Don't chase them down.
So for me, what I hear in that is, and this has occurred with me multiple times. You created a boundary to say this is not okay, or this is not true, or whatever it was.
Yeah.
The other person didn't have the capacity to hear your no,
right.
and reacted against that. And the reactivity is her attempt to get her way. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, you're not responsible for that. You're not responsible for her behavior. You're not responsible for her reactivity. You're not responsible to fix it.
Mm-mm.
Because you created a boundary. And so, yeah, good job. And and even around boundaries, we practice, okay, I can have a boundary and hold my boundary gently.
For more information about Faith Walking, visit www.faithwalking.us. We want to remind you that Faith Walking exists because of your financial support. Please consider giving at faithwalking.us/donate. Thank you for listening.